Dr. Borland, I'm fortunate that I get to work at a station where we have a very talented cotton breeder, and we can collaborate on some of this stuff. And this has worked out very well for me. I am an extension entomologist. I have a 25% research appointment. So, I'm an entomologist, not a cotton breeder. We've got two entomologists in this thing coming up here. So what I'm going to talk about is taking his data and extrapolating it to large plots or to the field. Is it something that we can, bring to the growers and benefit them? I did want to acknowledge my technicians, Sean Lancaster and Logan Tolles. They helped a lot with the collection of this data, and also want to thank Cotton Incorporated for their funding of this project. Again, I want to reiterate what Dr. Borland said. The tarnished plant bug has become the number one pest in cotton in the Mid-South. And that's not across the whole cotton belt, but in the Mid-South, it's our number one pest that we have to deal with, and causes us a lot of problems as far as management of insects. And during normal years, even in the Mid-South, we might make 2 to 4 applications in Arkansas. It varies from year to year. Insects are that way. We never know from year to year what they're going to be. I never predict anymore. Every time I predict what the population is going to be the coming year, I'm always wrong. So I'm not going to say, because I know I'm going to have questions this spring. Hey, this cold snap, what's it done? Well, who knows? We'll see. But we do make that many applications. Under heavy pressure, we've seen them. In this past year was one of those years where growers may make 10 or more applications in some fields for tarnished plant bugs, which is just unbelievable. That's back to boll weevil days almost, where we used to spray for boll weevil. So why is this an issue? Why is it important? Well, we are beginning to see insecticide resistance issues where tarnished plant bug is not controlled as well with insecticides, possible loss of chemistry. If you were here for the conference yesterday morning, we had some talking about the neonics, honeybees. There's a big issue with a lot of people want to take some of these insecticides away from the cotton farmer to protect the honeybees. So, and there's a lot of press that way, not necessarily a lot of science behind some of it. So, we do need to look at these things. So resistant varieties are really something we need to look at. This is what we used to look at for IPM is host plant resistance, insecticides, cultural practices. It's integrated. And this is what we're trying to do is integrate, these resistant varieties in here to reduce insecticide applications, which, also saves money for the grower. And the impact on the environment makes everybody happy, I think. So, what's my part in this project is really to kind of confirm, it's hard to take, and this is a picture of Fred's plots. You may have saw it on the previous presentation, these little 1 and 2 row plots that are 20 feet long. And does that correlate to the field? Are we talking about true resistance or just preference? Is it just the fact that maybe these plant bugs had a choice? If there's just 2 rows 20 foot long and I'm a plant bug, it's kind of like when you go to the buffet. Well, I'd rather have the fried chicken or instead of the broccoli. I make a choice. But if there's only broccoli there, I'm going to eat it. Is that what's going on in his plot? So we wanted to really see, if when a plant bug flies in here, he's got 2 rows to go to. Maybe he's preferring that. But when there's not a choice, is it still resistance? So that's what we're really wanting to look at. So what we were trying to do, what I'm doing, my part is to take this to larger plots. Ideally, it would be great if I could set this up on several farms and look at a field-by-field-by-field basis and really test all these things. But what we did was looked at large plots, and this is a picture of, from last year. We used 24-row plots, a lot of times 16 to 24 rows. We tried to make these a lot bigger where we could look at these things. And that's what we did in the methods. Depending on the year, when we started this thing, space is something that's a big issue on a station sometimes. You got to use the space that you've got. Most years, my plots were at least 16 to 24 rows wide and generally 75 to 100 foot long. So we had pretty good sized plots, and we would use, some of Dr. Borland's, we'd go through his data, pick out a few susceptible and resistant lines to compare, and we tried to plant these again by field corn if possible to help with the getting some tarnished plant bugs. What I did was we took each of these and put them in a split plot design where we had a treated and untreated with each variety. So we had a large plot that was treated. Right next to it was one that was untreated. And we treated them on the threshold of three plant bugs, which is our recommended threshold in Arkansas or in the Mid-South for three plant bugs per 5 real feet, is what we tell growers to do. We monitored, of course, had to monitor these plots weekly throughout the growing season, and we would terminate our insecticides at noted by blood flyers plus 250 heat units. Our research shows that, you know, they don't really cause a yield loss after that time. And then we took all these to yield. The last couple of years, we also started to add in a planting date thing here because, you know, like Dr. Borland talked about, can we avoid some of these things if we have an early planting with an early maturing variety? So we did that we took some of these, and they're the ones that he had showed there earlier, early maturing varieties, compared those to late, and we had two planting dates, try to get an early and a late. Didn't work out so much this year because it was actually a late and a later is what we did because of the year we had. Also in 2011-2012, I did monitor growers' fields where we had some, you know, because 5288 and 4554 were some of the resistant varieties, fairly popular. And compared some fields that were in close proximity just to see how often growers sprayed those fields to get some kind of field data with those as far as that materials. Again, you've seen this slide, but these are the four we've used the last couple of years. When I first started this, we used some of the other varieties as well. But again, as Dr. Borden said, we use these. And you can see, you know, there's a lot of stuff in between there. You know, and how does that fall out? You know, as far as they're not really susceptible, they're not resistant, they're kind of in between, the stuff can be managed. And I'm not going to show you all the data as well. Most of our years, this was in 2007, when we first started doing this, look at large plots, I also put a Texas Frigo bract line in there to compare. But again, just like Dr. Borna said, we always had lots of plant bugs in those, always a great yield response. But, you know, it really kind of made it hard to compare. You know, in 2007, this was a typical year. You know, we had some, we had Sugar 105 in there. What we saw, and I'll show you that in some of these slides, is generally what my data began to show was that on these large plots, our big question is is this true resistance? Is it total resistance? And we see that it's not complete resistance. If it was total resistance, there would be no plant bugs in those plots at all. Or if they were there, they wouldn't be causing any damage. You know, but as you saw, there was always some dirty flowers. There's always some damage. What we did see is these looks like they're less attractive to some point. And a lot of years, see, like in this particular year in 2010, I had a FiberMax 1740 in there, and it was one that was looking fairly susceptible. And this is the weeks of flowering. In our area, plant bugs really seem to come in about the time bloom. They will come in earlier, but in my plots every year, it seemed like we just didn't see anything until about flowering, and that's when the plant bugs will begin to move into the plot. So I'm just showing you the data during the flowering period. And, you know, everything in 2010, you can see here, was down below threshold. Threshold, this is per 10 real feet, would be 6 right here. Well, week 2, there's some of the susceptible varieties tend to get populations in sooner. And that's what I would see, is that they would come in quicker, so they would have to be sprayed. And what we saw was that the susceptible varieties would have to be sprayed. The resistant ones often still triggered, but it would be later on. And they may only, you know, be sprayed once or twice as it compared to maybe 3 or 4 with some of the more susceptible varieties. Here's 0935 we had in there that year, as you can see. It was the fourth week of flowering before it hit threshold. So, you know, the other varieties were sprayed 3 weeks before. And a lot of times, maybe twice before with these more resistant varieties would require an application. So it's not total resistance. Plant bugs still need to be managed, but they, for some reason, are not going. They do come to those. As the populations get higher, they begin to bleed into those fields and into those plots because they're looking for something to eat. And we do see that. It's interesting, you know, 4554 was another one that showed a lot of resistance. It didn't really trigger until week 5. I mean, it was just before cutout. It was actually past cutout, but 250 heat units hadn't quite been there. If it had been planted a week earlier, we probably wouldn't have sprayed it at all. And there was one or two years where I had some of the more resistant ones that only triggered at the very end of the season. And in those plots, we saw very little yield loss in those particular varieties. Which brings up another question. Maybe our thresholds need to change at the end of the season. Dr. Teague and I have discussed this earlier today, yesterday. This is 2012. Again, the kind of a tip. We had a little bit higher numbers. Again, this is those four varieties, the 375, UA48, the susceptible, and then the 5288 and the 222 are the more resistant. Again, you see the same thing here. The UA48, 375 triggered earlier than the 5288 and the UA222. We also had two planting dates on this. I didn't see much difference. You know, we planted about the first, the 10th of May on the first planting date, and then towards the end of May on the second one. Last year, what happened is all of the corn station was done about the same time, and we had an influx of plant bugs, and there was no difference between planting date in that particular year. So this is one of the problems with insects, is they don't always cooperate with you with the data that you want to collect, especially on large plots. But as you can see, you know, everything pretty much triggered except for the 5288 by week four. And again, 5288 did not trigger until the end of, you know, fifth week. So one application is what we had on it. That saves a lot of money and makes everybody happy. Now here's 2013. This is why Dr. Borland didn't have any blooms in his plots. everything looked good the first few weeks. Again, we had a lot of rain. We had a lot of problems. I had two planting dates on this. Again, like I said, it was a late and later. It was the end of May. I think I got my plots planted 2 weeks before you did and his stuff, so we did have a little bit out there. But as you can see, the scale over here, you know, by the end of the season, we were running up to, you know, 35, 40 plant bugs per 10 row feet instead of the six. And so that really took a lot off. And this particular year, under this really high pressure, when everything moved in, you can see there's not a lot of difference. So this resistance isn't total. It's not complete. They did move in. Everything triggered at the same time. I also had difficulty getting in spraying these plots because we had so much rain. We did not get to spray our treated plots as often as we needed to. It was just a bad year. I agree with Dr. Borland. I'm not suspicious either, but 2013 was really difficult in our area to get some good data. But we had tremendous. This is the highest population of plant bugs I've seen. I've been at Kaiser for 20 years. Is that right? And I've never seen plant bug numbers in this area this high before. We experienced extremely high numbers in North Arkansas. It's the same in the Boot Hill, Missouri. It kind of reversed itself. Usually down south is where they have it, and it was not as bad. But we just had a really bad year. Okay. Now, I got some pictures showing these are untreated comparisons. In these plots, we had some that were right next to each other. On your left, you can see it's the UA48, the susceptible variety. 5288 was resistant. These are both the untreateds in these plots. So you can see a visual difference as far as the number of bolls that are out there. Take note here, Liz, well, let me get this up here. These are split plots. So right back here is the UA48 that's been treated at threshold. So you can see a difference. And the same thing with the 5288. This was treated versus untreated. It's not as big a difference as far as visual goes. So we see that these varieties look like there's something there. I mean, they're just not causing as much damage. They're not coming into these plots as quickly as they are some of the others. This is 2013, very similar to Fred's, but these plots weren't sprayed. Now, they were planted about 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more than that earlier than what his were. So we actually, you know, the 5288 did put some fruit on. There were some bowls, and these weren't sprayed at all. And with that number of plant bugs, we still had some fruit out there, some bowls at the end of the year. Yields weren't very high, but you know, compared to the UA48 right next to it, here's a shot from a little higher up. I got up on a high boy where I could get a better shot of this. Again, here's the UA48. We did have pigweed problems with all the rain and everything. It was really hard to control our weeds as well. And again, the 5288 over here, and it's over here. I did this in a Latin square design, so the checkerboard was really showing up on these things. So part of this is treated. We didn't get to treat it as often as we wanted. And to make Dr. Borland feel better, I compared the UA. Here's a picture of the 375 next to the 5288. It didn't fare as well either. So, but again, the take-home message is here is that this variety was not sprayed for plant bugs, and we were running by the end of the season, and it still has fruit on it. I averaged, we've been doing this over about 7 years, or I have, in these large plots, and this is the number of applications that I made on average on the susceptible versus the resistant varieties. And the resistant ones tend to cut that number about in half. And another thing we could say of that as well is that half that's there is usually made late in the season. So there is a big difference there. So it does look like it's going to benefit the grower. This is some of the data from the 2011-2012 on commercial fields. What I did is I looked at 10 fields comparisons, 10 pairs of fields. So it was 20 fields total each year where we had a susceptible variety, a grower had a susceptible variety and a resistant one in close proximity. Sometimes it was right next to it across turn row. Sometimes it may have been down the road just a little bit. But again, we saw, the important thing here is I saw the same trend as we did in the large plots, is that the number of applications, and that, here in 2011, we averaged a little over 3 with the growers on the susceptible varieties, about 1.5 on the resistant. So it was it compared to my large plots very well. And in 2012, we had a little bit higher numbers. They sprayed about 6 versus 4. It wasn't quite the same. I don't have data for 2013. We didn't do it this year. This is the only 2 years I really did the commercial comparisons. But it was interesting how that came out. So conclusion, it looks like this small plot data, taking it, does compare to the large plots and does translate to the grower level. It's not 100% resistance, but it does look like it does effectively reduce tarnished plant bug applications and numbers and hence the need for applications on that. If we compare this to maybe planting date and some other cultural things, we could maybe reduce that a little bit more. And one note, under high pressure, they may require just as many insecticide applications, but as you saw in those last one, they tend to have a less negative yield effect. And that's kind of important, I think, as far as that goes. There's something going on there. It's not just an attractiveness thing. There's some resistance of some sort going on in there. That's all I got. Any questions?
Any questions?